for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
All right, everybody. Another Sunday evening, a little bit early, but, you know, a Super Bowl night, so a lot of people were going to be doing things a lot later, so I figured we'd come on a little earlier, right?
There you go.
Not watching the Super Bowl, but hey.
No. Nope.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope. Watching
not today.
Not watching the Taylor Kelce show.
Right. No, thank you.
You got something to start us off with over there tonight?
Yes, I do.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
I think tonight's message and tonight's devotional is great for everyone to hear right now. I think a lot of us are coping with some anxiety, and that's exactly what tonight's devotional is about. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. That's from Proverbs 12:25. Stress can cause a variety of medical issues, but nothing feels quite as hopeless as a heavy heart. Scripture teaches that a kind word is an antidote for a heart that has been weighed down by anxiety. A well-timed word has the potential to lift our spirits and motivate us to keep moving forward when we're tempted to quit. While it's true we can't control what other people say, we can be intentional about surrounding ourselves with encouraging people who aren't prone to speak negatively. When negative people surround us, we tend to expect the worst. On the other hand, it's beneficial to spend time with positive people because they tend to see the good in every situation and anticipate positive outcomes. A kind word can have a profound impact. We'd be wise to surround ourselves with people who speak kindly and to extend words of kindness every chance we get. The prayer tonight is, Lord, it's a blessing when you put people in my path who encourage me. Lead me to be quick to offer words of kindness and affirmation to those around me.
Amen. Tonight, later on in the show, we're going to be finishing up that little series we started a few weeks ago. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a better witness. And, you know, God has given us the opportunity to share his love with the world. So to do so, we must always be ready to give witness to Jesus through the word and deed. And we can either give him a good name or be the reason someone would reject him. Think about that, right?
Definitely.
So we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on in the show. And, got plenty of news to share tonight, right?
Oh, yeah, lots of good stuff.
All right, here we go.
Politics, current events. It's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
You know, one of the major news stories has hit just a little bit in even this afternoon is there's a police presence responding to Joel Osteen's church, Lakewood Church, there in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a calls came out this afternoon. Let's see. Texas authorities say that the suspects, there was somebody shooting, and there was an active shooter inside the church.
Wow.
Yeah. So, said the call came in about 2 o'clock this afternoon. The shooting was reported around the same time that there was a Spanish language church service about to start. And there was some things that were reported there. You know, things are a little shaken up and a little unclear at the time. But around 2:10 p.m., there were shots. There was an active shooter situation there in the church. So that's definitely something to keep in prayer. That's kind of scary, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. I hope everybody is okay.
Yeah. You know, police are advising anyone with missing family members to to head to the family reunification location at Greenway Plaza's Lifetime Fitness Gym. And then they confirmed on X that there was a shooting and asked that users please pray for Lakewood Church and their community. So it looks like there definitely was a shooting situation. Not a lot of information yet as to what happened has been released, but definitely need to remember to keep that in prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of news come out this week about Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Nikki Haley, all the above.
For sure.
Even with Biden's border boss offering explanation of why he hasn't fixed the migrant crisis, you know, everybody's playing the blame game right now. And, and there was a pretty damaging report that came out about President Biden a few days ago when they were deciding whether or not to charge him with the documents charge. Mm-hmm. And they came to the consensus that he would not be able to stand trial.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's...
Well, I just want everybody to know that if somebody comes for me when I'm 80 years old, I'm going to be like, mm-mm, I'm going to have to cite the Biden thing. You can't do anything to me because I'm 80.
Well, what's interesting is fellow 80-year-olds have been weighing in on President Biden's age and the abilities ahead of election. Like, you know, you don't bounce back. It's basically what they're saying.
You know, it's like you're 80 and you're 80.
Yeah. A group of older conservative friends in Arizona told the New York Times that the 2024 election was like a choice between Grandpa and Crazy Biden. Wow. Mm. Who was 81 and Donald Trump, who was 77. You know, They all told the New York Times that they prefer younger candidates, right? They're saying that you don't bounce back.
Well, you know, I don't know if we need younger candidates or not, because there's something to be said for the wisdom of the older people.
I say we give Trump another shot, let him get things back on track, and then I think that Nikki Haley would be a good person to come in if she could calm herself down a little bit.
Well, she needs...
And stop...
Yeah.
Blowing everything apart.
Yeah.
She's like a bull in a china shop.
She is. And she's going to find herself in deep if she doesn't, you know, sort of retool a few things.
Well, I mean, right now, I actually saw a commercial. And, I mean, this is how low the pandering has gone. And maybe you saw this commercial.
Mm-hmm.
There's a commercial with a chicken just clucking. And the commercial has subtitles all over it talking about Donald Trump is chicken to have a debate with Nikki Haley.
No, he's not.
Yeah. So to me, the whole commercial is a little childish to me.
Well, you know, she's wanting to pick a fight.
Yeah.
She, you know, and when she was involved with everything else before.
Yeah.
And when she was the governor of South Carolina and everything, I really didn't have an issue with her. But I have heard that Trump had an issue with her even when she was governor, and that's why he promoted her to be a UN spokesperson or the UN representative, because Henry McMaster would be more on Trump's side.
Right.
Than Nikki Haley. And I think Nikki, being a woman, she has different thoughts on lots of different issues. But I can tell you that, you know, poking the bear of Donald Trump is not the way to get anything.
No, it's not.
Because even if he were to lose this year, or even after his second term as president, he's still going to be somebody that people respect and look to for who he's going to support.
Yep.
And if you're messing with the honeypot, that's not going to be you.
Well, I think that Trump's second term was interrupted. It was interrupted before his first term even started, actually.
Right, for sure.
And with all the things that have come out over the last several years, There's definitely been an unveiling of the cloak that was pulled over some people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, you know, you even got national security experts suggesting that Biden's memory could be a huge factor in future crises, right?
Well, current crises are
not only weak,
you know,
but confused is what they're saying.
Yeah. I mean, and he can't seem to get two thoughts together.
With this, I mean, does Article 25 come into play?
Oh, I hope not, because that would just be actually worse.
Yep. And so, you know, who knows what the right answer is here? But more and more things are coming to light. And this is a time for people to be vigilant and look at everything. And like I said, research as many as you can, news sources. And you'll find some commonalities there. And somewhere in those commonalities, you'll find a little bit of truth. Now, if you're just looking at only liberal media, then you're going down the wrong path, I think.
I just recently subscribed to 1440, which is supposed to be a no spin, and I've only been reading their stories for a couple of days, but it's pretty much facts. You know, it's just like, here's the facts, there it is, we don't care about the rest of it. But, you know, I think that this is going to be very interesting because, you know, there's also rumors that even if they take Biden off, if Kamala Harris runs, she's not going to win. So now they're talking about bringing Michelle Obama onto the ticket. And I'm like, I don't think
really
so.
Really don't think that that's,
I don't think that's
the best
way
course
to go.
Of action there. So
I think they just need to step back, take this one as a loss, take this one for the team, and then try to find somebody else later.
Well, what do you think about what's been happening with the Supreme Court, with Colorado trying to have Trump removed from the ballot, and what the justices have had to say about, you know, their thoughts on this? And I mean, you know, number one, Article 3 is an old Civil War, you know, ruling that was brought in, and it was meant to keep people from insurrectionists from running for office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Trump hasn't been charged with anything.
Well, he's been charged, but he hasn't been convicted.
Well, I'm saying he hasn't been convicted of anything.
Right.
And, you know, and there's a lot of justices saying that, you know, he is not an officer, you know, of the guy. I mean, he's the president, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the president. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of things there saying that it doesn't even apply, but you know, we've got to keep watching and seeing, but there's definitely some interesting, you know, some interesting things that are coming up. You know, the cases are starting to implode a little bit.
I mean, I think the whole thing with the Supreme Court, I think it was spot on because they all agreed that taking him off the ballot was not their state right.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think that certainly gives credence to what Trump is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it gives voters back the power to vote for whomever they wish.
Yep. And I mean, you know, they're saying that, you know, the Supreme Court gave a chilly reception to the disqualification effort that, you know, bordered on the glacial, you know, while law professors like Harvard's Lawrence, you know, Tribe insisted that the basis for barring Trump from office was under the 14th Amendment was unassailable, you know, and the justices seemed utterly unconvinced that there is now the possibility that the entire effort could now be defeated unanimously.
Mm-hmm.
Even liberal justice, you know, Kenjani Brown Jackson appeared to imply that the effort was anti-democratic,
which I believe that too.
Yeah. And of course the case in Georgia's flopping around like a dead fish everywhere.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to come out of all the things with Fannie Willis. So we'll just...
Ooh.
That's a whole nother story for a whole nother time.
Yeah, that is definitely a whole different ball of wax.
When your own employees are coming out and saying, hey, I've got info. I mean, just lining up. That's not really good. It doesn't really say a whole lot. Well, it says a whole lot, but it doesn't say anything good for her. Let's just True. Say that.
Yes, there you go.
It says plenty, just nothing good.
Right.
So, so those are the things, you know, we kind of keep need to continue to watch, as well as a bunch of stuff that's still going on around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about the UN saying untrustworthy? The rocky road to justice, bias and corruption clouds Hamas massacre investigations.
People have been saying for years that the UN is no longer what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it was founded is not what they're searching for anymore. So, yeah, I think that there's something to be said about that, because the UN is really supposed to be sort of the non-political office.
Mm-hmm.
Of countries that are looking out for everybody.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's, there's so much is still going on over there, that there's so much going on here that the coverage is getting kind of scattered and we're not really hearing everything, right?
Oh, definitely.
So that's, you know, definitely we're going to have to keep our eyes on that and our ears open and keep looking and keep listening and keep praying about it, because that's the only way to, you know, any of it's going to start to make sense to really anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a scary thought that, you know, the president, the sitting president of the United States has been, you know, reported incompetent to stand trial, but you know, he's got the nuclear codes, right?
Yeah, that's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's actually probably the scariest thought, right?
Oh, absolutely. Having somebody who is mentally diminished is definitely not the person that you want with their finger on any kind of button, not even a remote.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
So, we got to keep looking at it. We got to keep watching it and keep reporting on what we're finding out, when we're finding it out, because things are just kind of starting to trickle out a little bit now. I mean, as much as heavy as the news cycles were several days ago, they're kind of trickling off.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to kind of wonder why that is.
Right.
So, but what else have you heard this week that has interested you?
First case of the dadgum bubonic plague is back in the United States.
Oh, yeah. So they say.
But still, don't want that. That seems bad.
Meet the next COVID, people.
like really, that's what you need to isolate yourself from.
So they're talking about Deschutes County, Oregon, okay? No additional cases have emerged, but an Oregon resident has been infected with the state's first case of bubonic plague since 2015. So it hadn't, like, you know, it hadn't been around, right? The resident was likely infected with plague by their symptomatic pet cat. Get that.
Should have done something else with meow meow when meow meow started looking kind of rough.
And all close contacts of the resident and their pet have been, you know, contacted and provided medication to prevent illness. But, you know, they haven't really, they said there's little risk to the community since the case was identified and treated in the earlier stages. So no additional cases have emerged during the communicable disease investigation.
Yeah.
So, you know, the bubonic plague can progress and move into more severe and difficult to treat, septomatic plague, right?
That sounds delightful.
Well, basically septic, right?
Yes.
Bloodstream infection and the pneumonic plague, which is a lung infection.
Neither one of those sounds
diagnosed.
Neither one of those sounds good. Like, I don't think I'd ever want to tell anybody, hi, I can't come into work today. I have the plague.
Well, the last case of human plague in Oregon was reported in 2015. So, you know, they say humans typically begin to show symptoms of the plague within 2 to 8 days of exposure. Symptoms can include sudden onset fever, nausea, weakness, chills, muscle aches, and visibly swollen lip nodes called
buboes,
right? So humans can be infected through bites or contact with infected fleas or animals.
That's why I don't ever let the dogs outside anymore.
Yeah.
Because fleas are nasty and ugh.
Yep. Some other animals, common animals to carry the bubonic plague. Squirrels.
Oh, delightful.
Chipmunks. So, you know, don't be playing with Alvin.
Dang-gum.
Don't be playing with Rocky.
I like squirrels.
And they noted that mice and other rodents can also carry the disease.
Yeah, and it's in, I mean, that's really how it got place to place when it was really big 100 years ago, 200 years ago, was
poor septic and you know, rats.
Absolutely. Rats, mice, anything that a flea bites that can bite you.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Interesting stuff there. Very interesting nasty stuff.
Just
nasty stuff. Okay. We'll just use your analogy.
It just.
Can you spell that?
No.
You ready to move into some learning?
Absolutely.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message. So as we begin tonight, you know, start in prayer. Lord, give us your grace and confidence to share your good news with others this year. Let our lives tell the story of your love and kindness and bring the people into our community that you want us to witness to. Your name, amen. So welcome everybody tonight. You know, as we wrap up this sermon series called Better, each week of this series, we have tried to highlight some of the ways that a relationship with Jesus can make our lives better. Fully submitting to Christ opens us up to his transformative power. So the first week, we looked at the impact God can have in our lives when we begin in the new year with better priorities. You remember those little rocks and filling up the jars? Well, when we put God first, the rest of our lives fall into order. If we get this backwards, the most important things in our lives will suffer. So 3 weeks ago, we discovered that the people we surround ourselves with will have far-reaching effects. Sometimes it is important for us to focus on having better relationships to experience the life that God has for us. And then 2 weeks ago, we considered how a connection to Jesus can help us make better choices. We are largely the choices that we make. And as we begin the new year, perhaps we need to operate with more godly wisdom. So tonight we will finish our series by being challenged to live this year as a better witness. So, you know, as a father, there are times I'm looking for a witness. And Mary Beth can attest to this because too often our children will sometimes, you know, we'll do something in our home that results in something getting broken, right?
Oh, yeah.
And usually, I'm not present when it happens, so I must try to gather information from the boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And typically, of course, no one knows anything, just like in anything.
Right.
But our oldest of the three, still home-aged, is usually the most honest, and we often refer to him as the informer.
Yes, he definitely is the informer.
And when I really need to get the facts, I would go directly to him and ask him to be my witness and give me the truth about what happened, right?
Yeah, unless it was him that did the deed.
Yeah, or as much as we can get. But a witness is someone who gives evidence in relation to matters of fact under inquiry, right? Maybe you have been a witness to a traffic accident and give your statement to what you saw or experienced. Maybe you've been a witness to an historical event that you have shared with others over the years. The Bible talks a lot about being witnesses. Not in the ways mentioned above, but, you know, witnesses to the power of the crucified and the resurrected Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, we are commanded to be a witness for Christ. It's not an option. In fact, it is the final instruction that Jesus gives his disciple before he ascends into heaven. So, the first thing to remember tonight is the fundamental job of a Christian is to be a witness. And being a Christian is the simplest form of sharing with others what Jesus has done in your life. It is offering up evidence from your own experience that would validate what Jesus, you know, that Jesus is who he said he is. And the book of Acts speaks to this mandate that was for Jesus' followers and for his followers that were yet to come. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, from Acts 1:8. So Jesus tells his followers that they will receive a helper called the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit will empower them to be his witness. Then Jesus tells them that they are to share the good news about him, their experiences with him, with people everywhere. The Greek word used for witness is the word martus, and martus can actually be translated as martyr. It is a word that shows up throughout the book of Acts as the early Christians demonstrated their faith in Christ to others, even by giving up their lives. When Jesus references Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, this was a way of drawing an expanding circle out from everywhere they were at the moment, which was Jerusalem, to as far away as they could imagine. There is no place on earth that was not meant to be advocates for and examples of the powerful results of a living life that is submitted to the leadership and love of Jesus. So there are certainly many things that Jesus wants us to do in response to his grace and forgiveness. We need to read the Bible. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to go to church. But the most basic response to faith in Jesus is to look for any way possible that we might tell others about him. Through the word and deed, we can be witness to the love of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, and the sacrifice of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, and the power of Jesus. We must be careful not to become so removed from the world that is in need of healing and restoration that we forget to be faithful to this basic calling. So in one of the late Pastor D.L. Moody's meetings, a man once testified that he had lived on the Mount of Transfiguration for 5 years as if to brag about his piety. So how many souls did you lead to Christ last year? Moody bluntly asked him. Well, the man hesitated. I don't know. Have you saved any? Moody persisted. I don't know that I have, the man admitted. Well, said Moody, we don't want that kind of mountaintop experience. When a man gets up so high that he cannot reach down and save poor sinners, there is something wrong. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps in this new year, we need to challenge ourselves to live with a better witness. We need to commit to giving evidence of the love of Christ by what we say and do to and for people, both near and far. So the second part here is, you are the light of the world. There are other places in the gospel where Jesus talks about what it means to be a witness. In fact, in the middle of the most famous sermon, Jesus talks about his followers that they have a very important job to do. They are to be lights in the darkness. You are to be a light of the world. A town built on a small hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, you let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. From Matthew 5, 14 through 16. So have you ever thought about how important light is? Without it, everything goes dark. Things become very difficult to accomplish. The importance and the significance of Jesus' word to the disciples would have been clearly understood by those living at the time. If they wasted light, or if they wanted light, it either had to be daytime, or they had to light something. They had to have a torch, a lamp, a candle, or something similar. Light was a precious thing that was not taken for granted. So when Jesus was born into our world, he came into the midst of the darkness. He came to people who were full of sin and brokenness. He was the only source of true light. The witness of his life says, you know what it's like to be in the dark? You know how even small light can change everything? That is what I have come to do. And when you place your faith, hope, and trust in me, you now have the same light that originates within me living inside you. Jesus tells them, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. When Jesus preaches this message, he was more than likely in the hills of Galilee. In the ancient Near East, a city was often built on a high point of the surrounding area. This made it safe from invasion. It also made it extremely visible, especially at night. The placement of these cities was important because when someone was traveling in the dark, it was easily seen from far off, as the only place that light would be present at night. Some scholars believe that Jesus would have been speaking and motioning to a city in that area called Sephard, and that was some 2,560 feet above sea level and would have been visible to everyone around. So, you are the light to the world to illuminate the darkness and light the way for others. You are a city on a hill to be visible, a place of refuge and protection. You will be important as light in the darkness and as visible to all as a city placed on a high point when you live faithfully for Christ. The third part here is don't be ashamed. One of the greatest challenges to living a better witness in this new year is a fear of what others might think about you, what they might think about our relationship with Jesus. Some of us might be embarrassed. Some of us might be ashamed. Some of us might be timid about boldly living out our Christian convictions. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest witnesses for Jesus. He offers us the reason for his willingness to live boldly for Christ in the book of Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile, from Romans 1:16. Paul writes he is not ashamed of the gospel. He will not be silenced. He will not hide his faith. The reason is because he knows that it is the power of God that provides salvation for anyone who believes in Jesus. Paul is writing to encourage his readers to be better witnesses because there is so much at stake. People's eternal future is at stake. The power of God is with us to strengthen us and to give us the words to share the good news of Jesus with those he brings across our path. So, Leighton Ford writes in his book, Good News is for Sharing, these questions to ask ourselves whether, you know, whenever we become fearful. When I am conscious of the fear or failure holding me back, I go through a kind of personal checklist, he says. Does this fear come basically from pride? A fear that I will not live up to my own expectations or to those of others? Do I remember that God has called me first to faithfulness, then to efficiency? Do I trust that the Holy Spirit is working before me, with me, and through me? Do I remember that I am being called to be neither more nor less successful than Jesus Christ was? And do I remember that God does his greatest work when I seem to be weakest? Isn't that, after all, the mystery of the cross? So in conclusion tonight, we hold in our hearts the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news is that because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our lives can be transformed and made new. We have experienced forgiveness. We have experienced hope. We have experienced joy. We are witnesses, but we must overcome our fear to share with the world that is in great need. The gospel needs to be shared. Who is the one person in your life that you can be a witness to? What is the one thing you can do to be a better witness to the world around you? So this new year, look for opportunities to be an advocate for Christ and take them. This is the call on our lives and the imperative command that Christ left us with. The truth is, we will have a better year if we focus on better priorities, better relationships, and better choices. And because of the changes we've made in those three areas, we will naturally be better witnesses to the transformative power of Christ. Our lives will bear witness to Him and will open up opportunities to share the good news with others. So let's pray together that God would bring these opportunities to us and that this would be a better year ahead. And that wraps up the Better series. What do you think of that one?
Very good. I feel transformed already.
Feeling transformed? Not like a transformer, but transformed.
Right. I'm not going to change into like a truck or anything.
Anything in that really stand out and grab at you?
Well, several things, but, you know, I think that being able to be comfortable in like what you were saying and being able to be a witness for God, you know, I think that that's important to, you know, you have to be comfortable with your relationship with God and comfortable with how that makes you feel and how that improves your life and everything like that, and then be able to share, you know, this is why I follow Christ. This is why you should follow Christ.
This is, you know, same thing as being is true with anything that you do. If you believe in yourself and you believe in what you're doing, you're more confident about it.
Right.
You're stronger towards it, and, you know, it tends to work better for you, right? So it's that same premise that holds true into all of this. So, you know, believe it or not, there's still people out there listening who, you know, just starting to dabble and explore God, not really sure about things, right?
That's right.
And, you know, it's important, and I'm going to use a different word, imperative, that you make this decision to follow Christ and turn your life over and, you know, start to make better decisions, start praying about things, start praying with groups, start getting involved in church. And the way to start that all is just by admitting you're a sinner and repenting and believe that Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again to pay the price for that. And just simply invite Jesus into your heart with a simple prayer. You don't have to have a preacher do it for you. You don't have to be in a room full of people. You can do it wherever you are. Just say a simple prayer like this. Just open up your heart. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, that's the first big step. What's some of the next most important things you can do?
Get yourself a Bible.
Try to get a Bible. NIV is a good version of the Bible. A lot of people like it because it takes the these thous and theys out, and you know, it's more contemporary language. Nothing wrong with that. I like that, and I like my King James Version. What's something else?
Join a Bible-based church.
That's right. Get involved in a good Bible-based church, one that teaches on the Word. Very important. You know, start praying. It's just like what we're doing right now. Talk to God. Pick a day, that time of day, that works best for you. Might be in the morning. Might be when you're sitting at your desk at work. Could be when you're driving and just talking to God, you know.
That's my time.
And there's no wrong time, right? No wrong time. But you got to start praying about the things that are going on in this world. And there's definitely lots of things that need prayer, right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we just went over a little earlier the whole thing about the Lakewood Church with an active shooter in the church. I mean, no place is safe anymore for pretty much anything, right?
Right. Sad as it is.
You got any other last thoughts over there tonight?
No.
All right. Well, if you'd like to send us an email, send us an email. ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. There'll be a message here at the end with that. Love to hear from you. We appreciate everybody joining us every week, and we look forward to doing this. And we'll be back next week with another exciting episode and more different topics. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on, right? We're entering what? We are in year three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Year three for us here. So it's been going on a good while. And we really appreciate everybody's encouragement with everything and you know, listening to the podcast. And it's interesting to see all the places in the world that there are listeners for this. So reaching out, you know, one person being saved is a win, right?
Exactly.
So we really appreciate it. We hope everybody has a very excellent, safe week. Remember to say your prayers, and we'll see you right here next week. Everybody have a great one.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolitiTalk, @gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
I've seen shame, the kind that comes from mistakes, the kind that won't go away. When I turned around, they were right there to remind me. I've seen regret, the kind that messes with your head, the failures and the can't forget. But standing here now, I'm thanking God it's behind me. 'Cause I've seen nail-scarred hands reach out and wipe it all away, yeah. Now I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave and the stone that you rolled away. When I was a prodigal, you saw the sun. When I left the 99, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace. I still heard says I don't deserve what you did on the cross, and he's right, 'cause I don't, but you did it anyway. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave.
Produced by Sound Image Productions.